Tech fans, it's time for Up with the White and Gold. He's GT John Watts. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome into Impact Media's weekly drive right through the varsity that needs to sponsor this show. By the way, right into Bobby Dodd, everything Yellow Jacket football. As I said, my co-host is GT John Watts. How are you, John?
Well, currently we've got the walk going, but outside of this, good. That's all I can say. How things are going good right now.
I mean, as far as that goes, you know, I can say that the Bengals helped us learn how to walk like an Egyptian. I don't know how to walk like a Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket.
Well, just get wrecked.
Yeah. Yeah, that is probably what a lot of Yellow Jacket fans and players may be doing right now. As I guess before we get into it, if you would like to contact the show for any reason whatsoever, we definitely appreciate all the feedback we get. You can do so by emailing us 3endzone@gmail.com. That is the number 3endzone at gmail.com. You can search for us on Facebook, whether that is John Watts, that could be Jeremy York, that could be Impact Media, that could be Up with the White and Gold. You should find, if you find one of us, you'll find the rest of it on a link and listen to a show. We appreciate you guys as well. You could do so by going to Twitter and going to the account at Team Impact Media. If you want to go ahead and follow that while you're there, that'd be fantastic. Scroll down to the show you want, click on it, and you can listen to your heart's desires content. I'm sure that's a phrase we'll start using now. Also, if you would like to follow myself or John on the rest of the social medias for show-related things and unshow-related things, including fun things we do, like activities that may or may not be coming up that I cannot confirm nor deny, because once again, they do not sponsor the show. You can do so by following me at TheImpact99 on Twitter, Triller, TikTok, and Instagram. And I believe you are either GT John or GA Tech John on all of those.
Yeah, pretty much. You can follow me there, or you can follow me running around the kitchen like I'm doing right now. But, yeah, you can definitely follow any of those. You'll be able to find me on any of those.
He is currently running around his kitchen like a member of the poultry family with their head fully intact.
Sometimes you think you have it all together and it just falls apart.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. You got to just, you know, that's a good thing to say about this team. Oh, last thing. You can also find us anywhere you find a podcast, whether that's Podcast One, Spotify, or the iTunes Store, many other places as well. If there's a place you find a podcast that you cannot find us, first off, that's a travesty. Second of all, let us know. We will remedy that as soon as possible. But, yeah, trying to hold it all together, yet it's all falling apart. That sounds a lot like the Yellow Jacket season, as they do fall to Miami, who has kind of been up and down themselves, 35-14. We'll start right there. What are your kind of overall thoughts on this game?
Well, I mean, for the most part, it was pretty even. But, I mean, for the most part, I would say. Definitely had some issues with turnovers. A lot of interceptions. And kind of running backs. The kind of things we talked about before is controlling the turnover game. And Saturday was not the day for us to be doing that. Miami definitely controlled that for most of the game. Like I said, it was fairly even through the first three quarters,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of fell apart.
Yeah, that's definitely what I saw as well. We would be remiss if we did not commend the efforts of one Cameron Kitchens. Let me make sure to pronounce that first N in there, who not only had three interceptions on the day for the University of Miami, but he had, I believe his third one of the day was a 99-yard pick six.
Yeah.
That one hurt.
Any pick six hurt, but if you you're all the way on that end, like you're about to score, and they run it all the way back.
I mean, that is the – yeah, that's the longest interception return you can get. You can't get 100. 99 is the furthest you can get.
But, yeah.
Other than that, the thing that I said I was going to mention on the show is Georgia Tech threw, I don't know if it was luck or dumb luck or actually some decent defense, or maybe Miami forgot that there was a game going on in the third quarter. You did shut them out. Nobody scored a point in the third quarter. That's a bonus.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going into the half, 14-7, and coming back and now everyone's just holding ground. I mean, it's not giving up. I mean, it sucks you didn't get any points, but you didn't give up any. So at least some positive notes there.
Well, and it seemed like it started to really derail, really come apart when Zach Pyron got hurt, because between him and Sims, I think, are your two best quarterback options. We could debate all day as to which you think is better or worse, but it seemed like those two really can command this offense. It's really built for things that they do well. And when Zach Gibson come in, it's just not really tailored to his style game. And they had no offensive firepower after Pyron went down.
Yeah, Pyron got hurt pretty well. He is, I guess I can go ahead and say it, that he is done for the season with a broken collarbone. Then
What was that? I said, ouch.
Yeah, broken collarbone was not fun. I remember as a kid, my dad went through a broken collarbone and a broken hip. He was out for, went out for a long time. But it definitely hurt. So, with that done, and Sims, though he was technically available on an emergency basis, it does appear that maybe his injuries are a lot more than what they assumed, and he's currently in rehab, not practicing, so he's out. Like I said, leaves us with Gibson. We do have, I guess, technically a four string, and might screw this up. Tyson Pumachan.
I was about to say, wait a minute, what is that kid's name? It's I've heard people stumble over it for a while. Let me try to find it real quick. There it is.
What it sounds like, older, not close.
Looks like Tyson Fomacon, yeah.
Yeah, it is Tyson Pumachan. I confirmed before I said it.
Pumachan?
Former quarterback. Pumachan,
okay, we'll go with it.
I had to look it up. I was like, I was going to mess this up before I say it. I have several sources to figure out what it is. We definitely got it there. He's a redshirt sophomore. He did his 3 year at Clemson and maybe played 13 games. So he pretty much retained all of his eligibility when he came over through the transfer portal earlier this year. 6'3", 227 pounds. He can run, he can throw. So, I mean, he's there. So we need him. It could be kind of the future. Maybe retained all the eligibility. So we'll see what happens there. But looking at the depth chart, Gibson is the one that we plan to have starting.
We said about Pyron that really you didn't need him. You kind of, to retain that extra redshirt year, you wanted to make sure he didn't play too many games. Unfortunately, that injury is going to make sure of that. But collarbone, that's going to put him at least into the summer before he's even going to be able to take any snaps.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to hurt. So, in more ways than one, him and our team.
Yeah.
Right now, probably Gibson kind of finishing out the season, and then depending on what may happen with head coaching and practice in the future, we may probably be looking at Gibson for next year on what we bring in.
Yep.
But it was rough. But, like I said, once he went down, once Pyron went down in the end of the third, Miami just pretty much found the gas pedal. And went with it.
Yeah, because they scored three times in the fourth quarter in about a 5.5-minute set. Although the last one was the 99-yard interception return. You know, there is that. But yeah, they really started to turn it on when they kind of knew. I guess you could say if this was a UFC fight, if you know the other guy broke both his hands and he can't punch you anymore, then it's a little easier to win the fight knowing he can't punch you back. And that's kind of where Miami was with that is at that point they knew you had no real way to come back. You did get a garbage time touchdown towards the very end of the game that Jamie Felix caught from Zach Gibson. So it showed a little bit of promise, but knowing what your next two or last two games of the year are and that you would have to win out for bowl eligibility, Tech fans, I believe basketball has kicked off already.
It definitely has. I think maybe a week or two ago, it definitely has kicked off. So I'm kind of stay on that, but of course, all the different ventures I like to watch, kind of keep up with different people.
Yep.
So I'm watching other stuff too. So,
of course.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting the next 2 weeks. I mean, looking at probably half of the ACC championship 1 week, and the number one team in the land the next week makes things a little hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely you got to the part of the deck that it is not stacked in your favor at all, and we will talk about that second part of the show. But you know, it's something I'll probably say again the second part of the show. Tech fans, it's not time to give up on this team. Could they win those games? Sure, and we'll outline ways this weekend, next week on how we think they can pull this off because there is still a decent, you know, an okay chance for them to do that. But the reasons why you keep watching is not just to support your team. It's that more importantly, watch to see how many of these athletes continue to rally around each other and rally around this coach and continue to fight and push hard. Because those are the ones that you want to see on your team next year. The ones that already start packing it up and just start going through the motions, those are the ones I hope don't come back next year. Because at this juncture, I don't think there's anything Brent Key can do to retain head coach position. I think he's done a great job. I think, he's going to get a good care package on the way out the door. But I don't see how you can keep him in-house knowing that at best you can be 6-6 and potentially going to a bowl game with your third and fourth string quarterbacks.
Yeah. Definitely agree there. I mean, yeah, it's a good run. And, you know, he got us to, you know, that fourth win that we've been elusive by several years. So, I mean, dealing with what he's done, I mean, yeah, it was great. He did a good job, I think, but it's definitely going to have to take something new. Different mindset, something to bring the kids together. I mean, it's kind of hard coming down at this point where, like you said, you know, the first two, our quarterbacks that we wanted to use are done. We've got them. We're supposed to be the second string, and as soon as he came in, you know, the game was up. Miami blew us out. So that doesn't really look good. And then, you know, we got a four-string guy who saw 13 games in 3 years at Clemson. So, he may be a good quarterback, but, you know, it's really rough. So I think maybe
What I've heard on Pumacon, outside of actually how to say his name correctly, because I'll just take your word on that. I've heard that he is very run-centric. He loves to take off, and that unless he's done something recently to remedy this, his passes are not always as crisp as they should be. And when somebody mentioned that to me I had no idea he came from Clemson. I said, well, he sounds like Uwangalele or whatever over there at Clemson. And the guy just kind of grinned at me. So he sounds kind of like DJ from Clemson, that the passes are not always there, but he can run when he really wants to. So maybe that's something that the next guy will develop. And in all honesty, I hope he gets a couple snaps, but I hope it's not because something happened to Gibson.
Yeah, I mean, if we get a game where it's completely like a fourth quarter, you know, he may get taken out and he may see some snaps in, gives him time. There's only with two games left, he can still retain his race there. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't be bad, maybe. At the point, like, if we lose against UNC, at that point, if you lose against UNC, then the season's done. You're not bowl eligible. So, yeah, you still want to play that last game, but, you know, probably going to look at making sure you don't injure anybody else. But we'll see on those two things. But I don't know. They're kind of like, I still want to root for them to finish it out.
Right.
But with all. Tall pass ahead.
Yeah. You're definitely any cliche that involves being behind the eight ball or any of that fun stuff. That is most definitely rock in a hard place. Just any of those that apply at this point. But all those fun things. But right now, let's take a break and hear from our friends at betonline.net. And when we come back, we have a couple more coaching candidates, and then we're going to dig into our bag of tricks and figure out, outside of suiting up Harry Potter and his magic wand, how they are going to beat UNC this weekend. We will be right back after this message.
Hi, this is Jeremy the Impact York from Strong Style, Board Check, and That Sports Show. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, including this year's opening games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline. Where the game starts.
And we're back here on Up with the White and Gold. He's GT John Watts. I am Jeremy the Impact York. We reviewed the, it was a close game up until it seemed like Pyron goes out, and then it seemed like Miami did find that gas pedal and really ran up the score, including the 99-yard pick six. And I hate to keep bringing that up. Just impressive by that guy. He already had two. He completes the hat trick by doing that. That's by a 99-yard pick six. That's incredible. Good for him. But let's talk coaching candidates, because we still haven't named one. I don't think they're going to till the end of the year, because, I mean, if I'm Brent Key and they name my successor before the season's done, I'll probably just quit and go home.
There's no reason to
hang on there. I mean, at least if they haven't named one yet, if you're Brent Key, you're like, you know, there's still a small chance I could take this. And there is. Even though we don't think so, I mean, there is a small window out there. It's a slightly bigger window than the window of them potentially winning these next two games. But there is a window out there that Brent Key stays on as the coach.
Yeah, definitely those there. And I think it would be crazy to say, hey, for these last two games, we're going to bring someone else in. I mean, at this point, finish it out and figure it out in the offseason.
Because, I mean, if Brent Key did leave, I mean, who are they going to name next? Like the biology professor or something to take over? I mean, I don't know who else you would bring in at this point. They would want to coach two games knowing that that's it.
Right. It's hard. I mean, it happened. We've seen coaches coach that one game and then move on somewhere else. But That's still just a – it's almost like a, hey, we're just bringing you in for a little bit when we figure out who we really want. That's not
right.
Really something I've
– Well, and speaking of people that that you may really want, who is this week's coaching candidate for you?
I am going with – and some people may have heard this last name, possibly if they listen to some of your other shows concerning a Sunbelt school. I'm going
okay.
with the brother of current Georgia Southern head coach Clay Helton. Going with Tyson Helton this week.
I didn't know he had a brother.
Apparently he does. apparently they both had a father. Of course, you know, most of this.
Pretty much everybody does, yeah.
Former NFL and collegiate coach Kim Helton was their father. Tyson Helton is currently the head coach at Western Kentucky. You know that one school you kept talking about in the beginning of the season.
There is so many ties to them in the last few years for me. That is crazy.
He's been around for a little while. He played for University of Houston from 96 to 99 as a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
In the middle, and as a graduate assistant under June Jones down in Hawaii.
Oh.
Would stay there until about 2003, doing some other roles, special teams and tight end. Then kind of moved up to back to Memphis.
Yep.
Memphis, he was there from 2004 to 2006. Currently, and during that time, he coached this one guy, his kicker named Steven Goskowski.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I think so. Anyone who follows the Patriots might know who that is. And then, so he stayed on there for a couple of years. And then from 2007 to 2012, he was a quarterback and running back coach for the University of Alabama, Birmingham Blazers.
I guess he was there all the way till they – no, it was a little later on. I was about to say they ended the program and then restarted it like in like 17, I think.
Yep. Then he spent 1 year up in Cincinnati as a tight end coach and a little bit there, but – like I said, it was 1 year where he would join the staff at Western Kentucky as the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this is good stuff there. And then he would also go on to USC, also where he would be a quarterback coach under, at that time, head coach Clay Helton.
Was
quarterback.
And he was... Yeah, he was also the passing game coordinator there, I think, too.
Yep. And during that time, that first year he was there, his quarterback named Sam Darnold was at USC.
The Carolina Panther great Sam Darnold, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that guy's
got the special ability. He can see ghosts. I think that's fascinating.
And then he was only he was there until the end of 2017. He would go to Tennessee, offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach under Jeremy Pruitt.
Mm-hmm.
And then November 2018, he became the head football coach at Western Kentucky.
They've actually not been bad in recent years.
Yeah, last year, so from 2019 to 2021, they made playoffs every year. Went 2-1 in bowl games, and then this year they're currently 7-4. So, depending on they might do something there, but I think what he's been able to do with a lot of quarterback offenses. Coordinator positions, like we kind of talked earlier, where they've been going, we can really use some help there at the quarterback. wherever he's going. So he would be pretty good candidate there to kind of help us out there.
That's not a bad choice at all, because I'm sure that Jay Batt has ran across the Helton brothers, at least one of, or both of them, in his career, so he may be familiar enough to want to bring him in.
Yeah. No, I mean, being there at Tennessee, you know, he probably ran into him there. And, Clay currently down in Georgia Southern, so, I mean, familiar with the area. So, I mean, bring him back here, and, you know, we can have the Helton brothers doing in Georgia. So, I'm gonna figure help him out a little bit.
Yep. I think that's another good candidate. So, you know, if nothing else, we may just keep doing this show every week just to come up with new candidates. I mean, at this point, it's just, we're coming up. I mean, because we're digging. Because this, the guy I'm going to bring up is actually, a lot of people consider him a front runner for another current open job. But I think it's somebody that Tech should definitely look into. This guy was born in Gadsden, Alabama, not far from where I sit right now.
Where my wife was born.
Pretty good place then, wasn't it?
Yep.
And actually, not even going to say that. I was going to say something that involved numbers, and I am not going to say that. This guy is clearly older than your wife. He is clearly older than your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's amazing that you were able to find a 26-year-old bride like that. Fantastic work by you, sir.
I know, right? I don't feel like that.
Yep, every day, I know. You're always talking about it. He went to Atala Etowah High School. This guy actually played for Auburn University for a handful of years before he went to the NFL, where he was the 5th overall pick. Any idea who I'm talking about yet?
Nope, not top of my head.
Let me go through some places he has coached, including a place that is even closer. In fact, you're really close to a place he coached. I'm pretty close. He started his coaching career at Henderson State. That's not the one I'm talking about. Then in 2016, he found himself as a graduate assistant at West Georgia. Go Wolves. Yeah, for people who don't know, pull the curtain behind. Right now, both of us are not that far from that university at all. He went to the IMG Academy as a running backs coach, went to the Birmingham Iron. We may have seen him coach. That was the AAS, so we may have seen him coach here in Atlanta. Then he has been at Auburn ever since, the place where he played. Places that he also played were Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers and St. Louis with the Rams before he called it a career. He actually has over 4,000 yards, 21 rushing touchdowns, over 1,000 receiving yards, and 4 receiving touchdowns. And he finds himself as the interim Auburn head coach as we speak. I am talking about Carnell Lamar Cadillac Williams. Good old Cadillac Williams.
Yep, what a name that was prominent here at the bat.
Yeah. Like I said, a lot of people think he's the front runner for Auburn, but if they somehow screw that up, it's possible. If they don't keep him on as the head coach, then even before he's offered the position, I would contact them about interviewing him. Because either you're going to get a chance to interview him for your head coaching vacancy, or it's going to force them to have to tell everybody we plan on keeping him on.
Yes.
And you can either cross somebody off your list or you can add somebody really prominent to it. And this team has really rallied around. You talk about a storied program in Auburn that they have all the history, the upsets, the championships. I mean, we could go through all of that stuff. But the last handful of years, they have been a flaming dumpster train wreck. And ever since he kind of took over as the interim position, team rallies around him. You know, they're not beating the brakes off people, but they've got to turn over some personnel to do that. But this team really follows behind him. They really appreciate him. He has that culture that he has brought back to Auburn University. They're still almost selling out games, even though they're not that good. That's all stuff that Georgia Tech needs to happen. And so I kind of like Cadillac Williams as an outside chance to coach Tech.
Yeah, I definitely see there. Auburn would be, I'm going to say it, Auburn would probably be stupid to let that one go. Because, I mean, in my mind, Cadillac Williams and Auburn, it's not. But, I mean, if they don't pursue it, yeah, definitely. I mean, I would definitely look into that. I mean, he understands the game. Clearly, they felt good enough to be the interim over there.
Like I said, it's either going to force them to have to reveal their hand that they're either going to strongly consider him or pretty much bring him on, or you can go, okay, well, if you guys aren't going to announce that he's going to be a permanent hire, then we'd like to interview him, and you get to interview maybe the right candidate.
I mean, never really know. I mean, who's going to be the right candidate? Because we had no idea with Jay Bapp. I mean, right there in Tuscaloosa. So you never know. I mean,
now, in all fairness, I'm not just saying this to make us look good. He was probably further down our list, but I didn't think he was one of the top candidates. So he must have wowed them from the start, and they just said, you know what? We don't need to waste a lot of time. I think it's him.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something they were looking to do, is really get that in place pretty quickly. So, I mean, if the pieces all fall right in your lap, you're like, all right, we're good. Come on. You want to come on? Come on. I can see that fit in. I think he would have a mentality to bring the players together. With his experience and, you know, understanding, when he was there, Auburn was more of a higher caliber team back then. All that. Yeah, he's definitely fit there.
Yep, exactly. But real quickly, as we round out this week's Up with the White and Gold, we are going to slightly preview, and it's going to be a really quick preview of this game versus UNC. I'm going to add a little bit of something. We'll hear a little something from you about it, and then we will go into our three keys to victory. The thing I want to bring up is I have seen this team already this year. I saw them very early on. They faced Georgia State, and even though they only won by 7 points over Georgia State, here is some of the damage they did. You got their quarterback, May, who was 19 for 24 for 284, two touchdowns and an interception. It's not a bad day at all. They had Hampton, who ran for 110 yards and two touchdowns. They had DJ Jones, who ran for 61 yards and a touchdown. And May added a few too, but they were scramble yards. They had three receivers with 60-plus receiving yards, two of them in Pesor and Morales actually had touchdowns in that one. They are very disruptive. I believe they ended up with a couple sacks, a bunch of tackles for loss, a bunch of interceptions. They're a really good team. And like you said, they're one half of the ACC championship, as they will take on Clemson coming up in a couple weeks. But overall, what I took away from them, they are a really strong team. They can be beat if you can hang around long enough to have a chance, like Georgia State did. Even though they lost, they were in the game for the most part. But UNC does not make a lot of mistakes, especially this late in the season. So you're going to have to bring your A-plus game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you got a quarterback who some people are – putting in that Heisman conversation, I mean, looking at some of the players that are deeply in the Heisman conversation, and he's had better numbers. So,
yeah.
Honestly, in my opinion, I didn't understand why he hasn't been more in the conversation. But that, you know, that's kind of hard to – that's a, again, like I said, tall task.
Right.
So, guy got the most touchdown passes, second in passing yards per game, third in total passing yards, tied for fourth in yards per attempt, fifth in completion percentage, and seventh among quarterbacks in rushing yards.
Or how about this? He's thrown for slightly more than 10 times as many touchdowns as he's thrown interceptions. 34 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That is ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, he's putting up, I mean, a great show. I think it's, I hate to say it, but he may pad the numbers this week.
maybe.
Maybe. I said maybe. There's still a chance here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, they're doing pretty good. So, it'll be interesting. And there's some things that if we can capitalize on, I mean, find what mistakes they can make, force them to do things. I mean, like I said, he's a great in passing yards, so there's going to be something we're going to have to control or make sure we cover. I'm not even leading into future conversations in this podcast, but yeah.
Well, then, the last thing I'll add before we get into the keys is just in looking at it, the things that you do that Tech does well don't necessarily translate into the things that they don't. That's something they are more susceptible to give up a lot of pass yards, and you guys are not really a pass heavy team. You rely more on the run, but on the flip side, they tend to give up almost 200 yards rushing a game. So maybe that's a way to exploit them.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I mean, there'll be areas that we can capitalize on. And if we've watched the film and understand what they do, you know, we'll definitely could hopefully be better than the spread is calling for.
Yep. Yeah, the spread's looking 21 is what I'm looking at from whatever ESPN's listed. I think they get it from DraftKings. And the over-under is 63. Unless it gets super competitive, I take the under on the 63. The 21, that's a little much, but we don't know how that's going to go. You never really know. But let's jump right into the three keys to victory, because we're not just going to make these up for the sake of the show. We're going to actually come up with three ways that Georgia Tech, if they do these things, have the ability to pull off this win. And I will let you do the first one.
Well, as we said, you know, quarterback is very high at passing. So I think we're going to have to control those big plays. North Carolina tends to be very explosive when it comes to those. So if we can kind of limit the big plays, the wide open things we tend to do, kind of leaving players wide open down the middle, down the field, just kind of control that, that would help.
All right. Well, I'm going to go a little crazy off the board here, and I'm going to say that key number two is on offense. I want to see a two quarterback tandem, but I don't want to just flip them in and out where one plays here, one plays there, or stuff like that. No, I want to use Gibson as, and this is going to be a really crazy example because these two players are nothing alike. He is going to kind of be the Drew Brees of this situation in that he is going to be listed as the quarterback, And he's going to be, majority of the time, he's going to be in. But I want to see some Taysom Hill-like plays drawn up for Pumacon. If he's really good at running and he can pass a little bit, then you kind of Tim Tebow it. You know, you do a lot of design runs. If he's in the game, it makes them have to account for somebody else. So you just exploit the fact that they have no idea who this kid is either. So I think you run that two-quarterback tandem and run it the way the Saints did with Breeze and Taysom Hill with the change-ups and the crazy runs. And sometimes he can just be a distraction on the outside and just be a fake receiver or something like that. But that's what I'll go with for the second one.
Okay.
So what do you have for the third key to victory for Georgia Tech?
Well, I know I've said it before and tend to rely on this one. Controlling the turnover ratio. We did poorly on that on Miami. We can't have any more of those 99-yard pick sixes. I think if we can get back to, what we had in the beginning of the season, the plus 15 turnover margin, if we can somehow, get through that offensive line, get some sacks or even fumbles, once the ball's, in the hands of the receivers, if we can try to work on that, if we control that, might definitely kind of help get that explosive offense.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I was just looking up the turnovers. Here it is. There were four by Georgia Tech, and they were all interceptions. Yeah, you can't lose 4-0 on the turnover battle and expect to win.
Yeah.
But it could have been worse. Another team that we covered had another blocked punt for a touchdown this week, so at least you didn't have one of those.
Yeah, that'll –
I was about to say, and that coach in the press conference, I don't think I used that clip this week on that show, but he said, I don't know how you could have a blocked punt for a touchdown, return for a touchdown, and expect to win the game. And I got to agree, if something crazy like that happens, your game went off the rails.
Yeah. Really solid. Well, we did. It was just seemed like game after game, just block punt. This is not going to work.
No. But to recap, because we're going to keep it positive on the way out the door, key number one, you said control their passing game, right?
Yeah.
All right. Key number two, I said use Pumacon as Taysom Hill, basically, and try to change it up with some random plays that – and packages that he's in. And then key number three, you got to control that turnover battle. And I do think if they do those things, you don't have to be as crazy to use my idea. But if you at least do the first and third one, I feel pretty good about you might be in this game late in the fourth.
Yeah. I think let's do that. I definitely agree with that. So hopefully the fourth doesn't end up like this week. And we can still be in it.
Yep. Hopefully so. But that's all we got for you, Tech fans. We'll be back next week to talk more head coaching candidates, to talk about this game, to tell you how you're going to beat UGA. Yes, I said that with a straight face. But for GT John Watts, I am Jeremy the Impact York. This has been Up with the White and Gold. We'll see you guys next week.
Go Jackets.